Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we're protecting our team today and keeping them home. Today's MoneyWise Live is pre-recorded, so phone lines aren't open. It's older than money, but works just as well. It's not beads or bars of gold, and it's certainly not Bitcoin. It's an ancient practice that buys goods and services with no medium of exchange. It's the fine art of bartering. We all have skills and unneeded items that others value. Have you ever thought about trading yours or bartering for things you need? Financial planner and teacher Rob West has some pointers for doing it right. Then we take some calls from all across the country. However, today's edition of the program is not live. We are pre-recorded. I'm Steve Moore, and welcome to MoneyWise Live. So, Rob, I guess just for today, we could call the program BarterWise Live.
I kind of like it, although I haven't checked to see if there's any copyright or trademark issues. But seriously, I'm curious, have you ever bartered or traded something with someone else? Yeah, without money.
I have, as a matter of fact. I have installed aquariums in dentist offices in exchange for having
cleanings?
My teeth worked on. Yeah.
Wow, I like it.
It was a long time ago.
Okay.
But I was sort of, that was a kind of a sideline business for a while. And I did it and it worked and nothing tragic ever happened. But I did wake up some nights hoping that a 500-gallon aquarium didn't burst forth in the middle of the night, you know, and ruin some dentist's office. But as far as I know, that's never happened.
I see. Well,
how about you?
All right. I like it. I haven't done much in the way of bartering, except maybe, well, this is more neighborly, but, you know, back in South Florida, after the hurricane would come through, my neighbor had a generator, and we swapped some ice for the ability to plug into his generator.
Okay.
But I think maybe that's just more neighborly than anything else. But I like the idea of bartering, and I'm glad we're going to talk about it today.
Well, maybe we could barter our voices someday for, I don't know, an acre of corn or something.
Whatever it takes, right?
Bushel of corn. Okay.
Here's the thing. It's a very natural way to exchange goods and services. And like you pointed out at the top, Steve, it actually predates currency. We've all probably been in a position to do it at one time or another, make a trade for some kind without using money. And what we're talking about today is becoming more intentional about it, and perhaps starting with myself. Bartering to make sure we get the best value for whatever it is we're trading. Makes sense?
Well, it does make sense. When it comes to value, however, I understand that the IRS puts some value on bartering, and this would apply to it. You know, this has to be considered, right?
That's exactly right. And we're not recommending bartering as a way to avoid paying taxes. You can go to irs.gov, for more information on their policies regarding bartering. But even with taxes, Steve, bartering can still be a great way to improve your family's financial situation. And if you do it well, you can save a lot of money.
Okay, so how exactly do we do this?
Yeah, well, first of all, the internet has greatly facilitated bartering. It's now possible to make barter deals without leaving home, and there are two ways to do that. First, through barter exchanges, where items are assigned points. You can sell items or services for points and then redeem them for things you want. Lots of businesses make use of these. It's called B2B bartering, essentially, and there's also a simple one-on-one barter transaction opportunity as well. A lot of this is done through websites like Craigslist. That's what our listeners would probably be most familiar with. But no matter how you do it, it's important to set the terms up front to avoid misunderstanding. So the first thing you do is determine the monetary value of your item or service compared to what the other person is offering. The goal is to make an even exchange. For example, let's say you want to trade a bicycle. I know you're a cyclist, and you value that, Stephen, $100. Now, you want a piano lesson someone is offering. Well, they're only $20 a piece. So to make the deal fair, you have to trade the bike for five lessons. And that way, both parties feel like they get a fair deal.
All right, so set the price up front, but how exactly do you do that?
Well, by negotiating. First, determine what you think is the fair range of value for your item or service and start negotiating at the high end. You can always go down, and then you can, you know, because you can't go back up at the end of the day. Also, make sure both parties understand exactly what is being traded. Is the bicycle in good shape? Are there air in the tires? Are the piano lessons for a half hour or full hour? You got to get all that nailed down.
Okay, well, let's chat some more about this when we come back. MoneyWise Live with Rob West. We'll be right back after this. Please don't go away.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
Earth, the living planet. Ultimate showcase of God's creation. Consider the stars. Only a few thousand are visible to the human eye. But scientists tell us that our Milky Way galaxy contains 100 billion stars. The space these celestial beacons occupy would require 80,000 light years to traverse. Isaiah 40:26. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. There is a creator. His name is God. It was he who made the stars, the heavens, and earth, the living planet. Tribute to the living God.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is MoneyWise Live. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Hey, if you hear a phone number mentioned today, please ignore that phone number. Today's broadcast is a reprise edition of the program, but I think the upcoming information will help you and bless you and make you a wise steward of what God's given you. Our topic of discussion for the first few minutes here is the subject of bartering. I'm not sure we've ever discussed this on the program. Perhaps you've bartered something in the past, and that's worked out well for you. Let us know about that. We'd love to hear. So we were talking about negotiating and how to set up the deal, if you will. So once we've got the details hammered out, a bicycle for weekly piano lessons, is all this just done with a word of mouth, handshake, that kind of thing?
Well, that's probably not a good idea, unless you're bartering partner is someone you know very well and trust. Otherwise, it's better to have the agreement put down in writing, and email actually works fine for that. It provides a record in case there's confusion later, and that's the key.
Okay. Well, anything else we should watch for?
Well, a couple of things. First, be careful bartering for services that require licensing or another certification. So if you're bartering for legal services, make sure the person is actually a lawyer. The same holds true for medical services. Make sure the person is a qualified practitioner. Well, one other thing, Steve, we touched on this at the top, and I want to emphasize this again. Remember to be fair and honest with everyone you deal with because you're a witness for Christ. We know Proverbs certainly speaks to this. Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. The idea there is we want to make sure we're doing something fair and using this as a way to bless both parties so it's truly win-win. But if you can do that and you're safe in doing it, meaning you're careful, and I know you've warned our listeners before when using things like Craigslist, always meet in a public place, probably best not to come to your home, things like that, but it really can work for you financially.
That's right, and it's certainly a creative way to stretch your dollars and to use the talents that God's given you and the interests you might have. But as you pointed out, Rob, it really should be a win-win. Both people should come away feeling good about what's occurred. You don't have to continue to do it if you aren't really wild about how it worked out. But, you know, give it a try. Be prayerful about it. And remember, in the entire relationship and situation, you want to be a witness for Christ in how you conduct yourself, your honesty, and the kind of work that you supply or the kind of product or service that you supply.
That's
so,
right.
Again, if you've done any bartering and it's worked out for you, we'd love to chat with you. Let's begin by going to the Chicago area. And Sarah, what's on your mind?
You asked if anyone had experience with bartering. It just brought back a memory for me. I grew up in a small town in the middle of Kansas, and my dad was the town doctor, and I just remember several times that he would say something like, oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so replaced the windshield on the car for us because I took out his daughter's tonsils, or he'd get some body work done on his car, somebody come over and, you know, paint the house or whatever, and he wouldn't pay him, but he'd mention, oh, yeah, his wife was in the hospital, and so he's helping me out. So I don't really know the extent of it, but I think that he just was helping out townspeople who couldn't afford the medical care they needed, just making sure they got the health care they needed by letting them just exchange a favor somehow.
Wow, that's great. Well, see, a perfect example of how you can bless a neighbor and build relationships and community and still get things done at the same time and perhaps save a little bit of money. So
sure.
A great example of exactly what we're talking about here, Sarah.
Yeah. Thanks, Sarah. We appreciate your call today.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely.
Great.
Right.
God bless you. Thanks so much. You know, and it's also an opportunity, frankly, to make friends and to get to know your neighbors a bit better, which these days is not something that happens all that readily like it, you know, used to in decades past.
Well, that's exactly right. And the Internet has made a lot of these transactions much more convenient. As we said earlier, though, really important to remember, this is not a way to get out of paying taxes that are due. A lot of barter exchanges require you to issue a Form 1099-B, and so you're going to want to read up just to make sure that you are, in fact, doing this properly, and you can go to the IRS.gov to do that. And I think Steve Bill in Indianapolis has another example for us.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, how you doing today, and what's your barter story, Bill?
I was in a dentist chair getting a root canal, and I'm in construction, and I said, is there anything you need to have done so we can trade this? And he said, well, as a matter of fact, I need a fence in my backyard. So he spent 3 hours in my mouth and I spent 3 days in his backyard, and we called it even.
There you go.
a fence for a root canal.
Wow. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah. Well, how are your teeth today, Bill?
Excellent.
Well, keep flossing, and we hope you'll call again, and we appreciate your call. Thank you very much. You know, Rob, you mentioned the IRS. Could one barter with the IRS? The IRS says we want $1,000. I say no, but I've got a cow.
Right.
You know, would that work?
Are you in need of a root canal?
Right. After talking to the IRS, yes, we're all in need of. No, I apologize. Boy, now I'm going to get audited for sure.
Oh, boy. That was Steve Moore, by the way.
Lombard, Illinois. Hey, Alan, what's on your mind today?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My situation is this. I had a transmission go out on my car suddenly, so I was borrowing a family member's vehicle while I looked. Well, I found something I liked at a dealership, but when I asked them about financing, they told me they couldn't quote me a rate until the end. They did do a credit report. I got my FICO score back. It was 791, so they assured me, you know, it was practically a done deal. I returned the vehicle I was borrowing, but then when I actually went to sign, I found out the interest rate was 11.74. To me, that seemed high with such a good FICO score.
Absolutely.
But at this point, I had little choice having returned the vehicle. So I know people refinance their houses in the middle of a loan. Is it possible to do something like that with a car loan, and how should I go about it?
Yeah. Were you able to inquire as to what the decision was that led to the rate that was assigned to this particular loan, why it was so high?
I was told because it was the year of the vehicle. It's a 2012.
All right. Yeah, so a little bit older, and obviously lenders are going to have varying rates, starting with your credit rating, but then they'll also look at what is the amount you're borrowing and then what is, in fact, the age of the vehicle. You should be able to do better than that, Alan, with that kind of credit score. You may get dinged a little bit for the age of the car, but I think you could still improve your situation. If you go to bankrate.com, you can find the best rates in your area. There's a lot of online lenders now that specialize in auto loans. One would be Lightstream. Even the traditional banks, I know Bank of America right now, their best rate is 4.3%. So you should be able to find something in the 4% range unless there's some particular aspect of this vehicle that's going to push it up. But still, even if you're a couple of points above what would be the most attractive rates that are available today, you're still, you know, perhaps nearly half of what you're paying right now at almost 12%. So I would definitely look at a refi. They happen all the time. And then once you get that rate down, let's try to pay a little bit extra if you can each year and get that paid off even quicker. But I would definitely check that out and see if you can improve your situation.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Alan. We're glad that you called today. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. Rob West taking your questions on anything financial at 800-525-7000. MoneyWise Live, where we try to help you understand and establish God's plan for your life and your pocketbook, using God's Word, obviously. When we come back, John is going to be with us. He works for a major orchestra. More MoneyWise Live when we return.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Do you know the 7 things not to do with your money in uncertain times? And would you like to know 10 ways to trim your budget amid the current pandemic? Well, you'll get those answers and much more when you subscribe to the new MoneyWise e-magazine. You'll receive valuable expert articles. You'll even get access to exclusive podcast episodes. And your subscription is free. Get access to the MoneyWise e-magazine today at moneywise.org/signup.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Whether they have a law unto themselves, whether they have the Mosaic law or a law unto themselves, neither one of them can keep it. By virtue of the fact that you even know you have a conscience, by virtue of the fact that I know I have a conscience, is because I have gone against it and had a guilty one. All in the world, the Mosaic law says to us is, you're guilty. All in the world, the law upon my heart says to me is, what? You're guilty. You're only aware, and I'm only aware of the conscience when it's bothering us. And almost always, it's witnessing to us in retrospect. Now, one of my commentators said always, because the conscience comes afterwards. It bears testimony afterwards. So its big message is, you're guilty. Human moral law, you're guilty, one way or the other. How in the world do we get out from under this guilt? There will be one way, and that will be proposed as the cross of Christ, and that alone. Either way, they're condemned, he says. But boy, there better be an answer. And of course, he's building up to the revelation of Christ. There better be an answer, because no one can mind his conscience all the time. The fact that he's aware that it's there says that he has broken the moral code written on his heart.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with a quick word.
Beth would love for you to tune in each Tuesday night for Bible study. Classes begin at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central on TBN. Maybe you had to miss a Tuesday. No problem. Go to BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. You can watch the latest episode of her television program and more. Again, that's BethMoore.org. See you next time for another Quick Word with Beth Moore.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live. Find us on the web at moneywiselive.org. But today we're not live, so if you hear that phone number, please don't call, but do stick around. Lots of good information ahead. This is MoneyWise Live, where for just a few minutes today, we're talking about a section, a part of the economy that you may not have given a lot of thought, but apparently some people have. That's the subject, that's the topic of bartering, using your skills and goods to acquire some skills or goods or something you need. It's essentially horse trading, what used to be called horse trading, and it can be done well, easily, but the IRS wants their cut, so you have to be careful of that. We've got a bunch of these bartering calls, Rob. Let's blast through a few of them quickly. John, you're somewhere in the Midwest, and you work for a major orchestra, is what my notes say here.
Yes, that's true.
Do you mind me asking what instrument you play?
Well, I don't. I'm part of the staff usher corps. I manage and train the volunteers.
Fantastic. Okay. Great. Well, tell us about your bartering experiences.
I have an arrangement with my vet and my chiropractor. A part of my compensation package is that I get comp tickets for each of the shows. Uh-huh. And I give them first choice of the concerts that they want to come to. They both love the symphony.
Yes.
And so if they choose those tickets, then they credit my account with them for the value of the ticket.
Okay. Yeah.
I like it. How long have you been doing this, John?
I would say about 8 years.
No kidding. Yeah. So obviously it must be working well for all parties involved, huh?
Yes, it helps a lot. We've got a few pets, and the credit has come in handy, and we've been to the chiropractor a few times, and it works out really well.
That's great. That's great. Well, John, we're glad that you called today. We appreciate that. That's encouraging. Thanks very much. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio next. Hey, Kathy, what's your barter experience?
Well, I just wanted to say that every Christmas Eve, my brother opens up his great home. He's a single brother, and there's 9 kids in the family, 6 in the general Cleveland area. And none of us want to have Christmas at our homes for one reason or another.
Okay.
And so my sister and I will go and clean his home so it's nice for Christmas Eve. Then in exchange, he opens up his home for all of us, and we have a wonderful time. There's probably about 30 of us. Family and some friends, people who don't have places to go for Christmas.
Yeah.
And so we get the house all sparkly clean. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And we have tables set up, and we just go back and forth.
Oh, that is great.
Time.
I think you're giving people ideas in our listening audience today, swapping cleaning for a host home for Christmas. I like it.
Yeah.
Hey, Kathy, thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Steve, you mentioned horse trading a moment ago. David is calling from Lebanon. David, tell us your bartering story.
Well, I was keeping a couple quarter horses for my two daughters to show in 4-H, and they needed shoes. And a local blacksmith, Bud Willis, was also raising daylilies. That was his hobby, is raising daylilies, and he needed horse manure to put on his daylilies. So we traded horse manure for horseshoes.
There you go.
The mistake I made was giving him way too much, because I didn't have a whole lot of value on the horse manure. I had a lot of it.
Right. I like it, David. Whatever works for you.
Yeah, David, that is great, and we appreciate your call. Thanks very, very much. Just when I thought I'd heard it all in my broadcast career, something like this pops up. All right, West Blockton, Alabama. Hey, Bonnie, can you top that? What's your bartering situation there?
I don't think I can top that. I've actually done a lot of bartering in the past.
Uh-huh.
And what I usually use, I'm an artist, and, well, pseudo artist. I don't do a lot of it, but I used to do the profile portraits at trade shows, just pastel portraits, and they were quickies, and sometimes we'd be there, and we would just, the weather would be bad, and there wouldn't be many people in there, and we would, you know, swap between us. All these traders would just go around and see what they like and say, hey, you want some portraits for this or that? But anyway, what I really wanted to tell you guys is that I'm so glad I listened to your show, because it reminded me years ago my dentist and I bartered, and I did portraits of his children.
Okay.
And the last time I was there, I was actually having something done with his colleague, and he came in and started talking about needing some updated portraits. And I was like, yeah, well, I haven't even done my last few grandkids, last two or three grandkids at the time. You know, I was just really kind of laughing and not taking him seriously. But my husband is there today, and he's been there two or three times lately because he's had some work that needed to be done. And he was talking about how he hadn't charged him very much for what he'd done. He said, man, he went and he didn't charge me, but, you know, just a real small amount. And it just dawned on me while I was listening to this, I need to say, hey, look, let me do your kids again. And I just, I'm so glad I listened to you, because I really need to do that. He's just a wonderful man, and he was just so good and helpful always. He's always been so nice. And anyway. Well,
thank you, Bonnie.
And one more thing that I remember.
You have to be quick. Okay,
is for Christmas, I gave some of my grandkids cards. I gave them a little something, then a card that says good for a trip to, and I took, like, my 11-year-old grandson, took him to Second and Charles and let him get $20 worth of books, and I'm taking another one bowling. So, you know, that's kind of something that's, I guess, bartering in a way.
That certainly is. Bonnie, thank you very much for that encouraging call today. We do appreciate it. We're almost out of time here. Sue is on the line. We're not going to have time to get to her, I'm afraid. She's calling from Princeton, Illinois, wants to tell us about bartering babysitting services in the neighborhood. And that's probably something that a lot of people do, and we would encourage that. And maybe you've done that yourself, Rob. You have four children.
Oh, we sure have. Yeah, we would pick a night where friends would watch our kids, and we'd go out, and then we'd swap the next week. Great way, especially as a young family, to make sure you still get a date night.
That's right. Hey, thank you to all of you who called in today with those encouraging and interesting bartering stories. This is MoneyWise Live with Rob West. We're going to take a break. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook. You'll find us at MoneyWise Media, and we'll be right back.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, I'm Caleb from Moody Radio. The Moody Bible Institute verse of the week is found in Isaiah 35:3-4. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. That's Isaiah 35:3-4, the Moody Bible Institute verse of the week.
We've all been hurt. We've all hurt others. That's why forgiveness is critical for our spiritual and emotional well-being. But how do you forgive when it's hard? In Forgive Your Way to Freedom, Gil Mertz shares his inspiring story of forgiving his difficult and distant father and lays out a practical, biblical process of forgiveness. Learn to forgive and be set free. Forgive Your Way to Freedom. More at moodypublishers.com.
Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, will help you find that hope and peace. This hands-on study will show you the four H's of financial wisdom to help you apply the power of God's Word to your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise Live with a gift of $25 or more at MoneyWiseLive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Top Obama officials, including former Vice President Biden, are on a list of names now made public of those who may have asked for General Michael Flynn's identity to be unmasked in a sequence of events leading up to the Mueller investigation. Donald Trump's one-time presidential campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, has been released from federal prison to serve the rest of his sentence in home confinement. That's due to concerns about the coronavirus. The United Nations is forecasting that the pandemic will shrink the world economy by 3.2% this year, the sharpest contraction since the Great Depression in the 1930s. Stocks fell for a second day in a row, weighed down by worries about a slow recovery for the economy. The Dow lost 516 points, the NASDAQ off 139, and the S&P 500 fell 50. This is SRN News.
This is a reminder that today's program is a rebroadcast, so even if you hear the number, please don't call. But you can send us an email at questions@moneywise.org. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We certainly do appreciate that because this is a call-in program, and if you weren't there, well, we wouldn't have anyone to talk to. So thanks very much, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and thanks for your patience. How can we help you?
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Very well.
Okay, this is what I call about to ask you today, Rob, is that my daughter is about 25 years old. She's going to be 25 years old in May.
Okay.
And I just want for you to give me advice on what insurance she should get. Life insurance, whether whole life, term, or whatever, what's the best advice for her?
Okay, and we appreciate your call. Is she married?
No, she's single. Okay. She's my only child.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And you're talking specifically about life insurance?
Yeah. She needs some kind of insurance. Yes.
Okay. Well, here's the first question to ask is really, is life insurance necessary at this point? Given that, remember, the purpose for life insurance is to make sure that there's provision there for family members or dependents that would be impacted with the loss of an income or an added expense at the death of the loved one. So, for instance, when she's married, let's say she and her husband are both working, let's say their lifestyle is dependent upon that, her income goes away if something happens to her, if she dies, and then the life insurance kicks in, and the opposite would be true for her husband to be able to fund that portion of income that's lost to be able to take care of the needs of the family, and let's say they have children and those types of things. Or if you have a stay-at-home spouse, and if that spouse were to die, then there would be an expense that would be burdensome for the family. Well, that's where life insurance could kick in. So I think at this point in her life, if she's focused on just getting started in her career and thinking about that, if she doesn't have anybody that's dependent upon her, then she doesn't need to be thinking about life insurance right now. She needs to be thinking about building her financial foundation, building up her emergency fund, perhaps starting a retirement account, trying to save 10 to 15%, getting into the practice of giving, those types of things. Once there is a need for insurance, because there is somebody depending on her, there's children or she gets married, whatever it might be, then we start to think about what type of insurance. And that's where I would recommend for most people, term insurance, where basically you buy pure insurance where the cost is very low and you can buy the amount of insurance you need. So you might hear a rule of thumb where somebody would say, well, you should have 10 to 12 times your annual salary.
And so let's say somebody's making $75,000 a year, you would want somewhere between $750,000 and $1 million. Well, for a 25-year-old, $750,000 term policy for 20 years might be $275 a year. For 25 years might be $350 a year. Not a lot to speak of relatively, and gives you adequate coverage in the event of her death. But unless there's some sort of history of medical challenges or problems in the family, then there's not necessarily an immediate need for it right now. The only reason you might consider it is if for some reason you had reason to believe she might not be able to qualify down the road because of family history that might be present. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. You give me good advice. So
good.
Yeah.
But when it's time, I would look at term insurance, and I would have her do her saving, especially long-term savings, in something like a matched 401k or an IRA, in particular a Roth IRA, things like that, as opposed to trying to link the savings with the insurance in something like a permanent whole life policy.
Hmm. And we appreciate your call today. Thank you very much. To Miami, Florida, Juliet, what's your question for Rob?
Yes, I own a home. I raised my children there, and since 1977, we are still living there, and I've been harassed over the years and worse now. They have phone calls, letters, as if they write letters if they knew us, to sell our house constantly.
Hmm.
And it's really harassing, and I'm tired of it.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that, Juliet. Is this coming from a realtor, or is it coming from the broker? Meaning, is this somebody who works for a broker or a real estate company? Or are you getting contacted by somebody who actually is the broker and perhaps owns the company? Do you know?
No, it's different people calling. They're brokers, realtors.
Yeah.
They're different ones.
Okay. Is there something unusual about your house? Is it in a really desirable location? Is it very old? I mean, is there something that would cause people to really want to make sure they were first in line or top of mind for you when it comes time to sell?
It could be, but I'm not selling. I don't have a sign out there for sale, and they are harassing. They are calling my house constantly.
Yeah.
It's really harassment.
Yeah, it's really interesting and unfortunate. Reason I'm just so curious is you don't hear of that very often. I mean, clearly, realtors will do mailings from time to time. They might stick something in your mailbox. They might even call you just to say if you're thinking of selling. Obviously, this is a strong real estate market right now in most parts of the country, and they want to be first in line. But to the point where you would feel like you're being harassed, it's just unusual. So I'd probably start, and I suspect you've already done this, I'd start by contacting the broker for each of the companies that are pursuing you just to say, please don't contact me again. I feel like this is going beyond what would just be normal solicitation, and see if you can't try to get ahead of it. There can't be that many companies in your area. And you could also take advantage of some of the opt-out lists and the do-not-call lists to see if that would help to alleviate some of the national companies that are contacting you. But I think that's probably the best step. I mean, if it got to the point where you genuinely feel like you are being harassed, you could call the Federal Trade Commission or go on their website and report the companies. But I'd start by just trying to get the broker on the phone for each of the real estate companies represented from these solicitations and just explain the situation and ask if they wouldn't mind intervening because this is getting to a point where you're just uncomfortable with it. But I'm really sorry to hear that. I'd love for you to call us back at some point and let us know if you were able to resolve it.
Rob, let's define some terms here if we can quickly. All right, so there's the Smith Realty Company in her area, but you're suggesting that there's a broker that works with every realtor as well, and that's who she should contact. How would she find that person?
Yeah, if you go on the website of the real estate company, every real estate agent has to be under the supervision of a broker. and they have a particular type of license, a broker's license, and that would be the person who's ultimately responsible for that office or that real estate company. And so I think getting to that person to say, beyond somebody who's just out there as a salesperson and soliciting for new business, to say, here's my situation. I feel like this is beyond what would be a normal course of business, and I just need to ask that it stop.
Okay. Well, we're very sorry to hear about this, Juliet. As Rob mentioned, it's not something we hear about very often. We wish you the best with that. Thank you very, very much. Don't forget to check us out online. You'll find us at moneywiselive.org, moneywiselive.org. Past radio programs are there, budget templates, a number of free resources. Check it out. We'll be right back.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. You know, there are things I choose not to do because they can be a stumbling block to others. When I'm told by indulgent Christians that they're living under grace, I become a fruit inspector, and that's okay. Matthew 7:16 tells us you shall know them by their fruit. When Jesus explained that we'll keep the whole law by simply loving him and our neighbors as ourselves, he was speaking to this issue. Because when you're as concerned for the eternal destiny of those around you as you are for yourself, you'll live differently. And when Christians choose to not live differently, they tend to be thinking more of their own enjoyment than on bearing fruit through the salvation of those around them. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org. Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, nice place.
Yeah, they have great coffee.
Two of you? Right, this way.
Thanks. Anyway, like I was saying, this family moved in across the street from us about a year ago.
Yeah.
And right from the start, all we hear is yelling. Kids are yelling at each other. Husband and wife are yelling at each other.
Enjoy your meal.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, and then the guy's out playing catch with his son, right?
Yeah.
Poor kid can't do anything right, according to Dad. Come on, pick it up. You'll never be a ball player like that, dummy.
Wow. You said that?
Yeah.
Whoa, nice guy.
Oh, and something else. Janine and I have noticed every Sunday they all pile in their car and head off to church.
How do you know that's where they're going?
Well, the guy comes over to my house a couple weeks ago to invite us to go with him.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what he says to me? Jesus can really make a difference in your life like he has in mine.
Oh, wow. There's a difference you don't need.
Yeah, you got that right.
So how's work?
That's going pretty good. Headed to Washington.
Living out the Christian life, huh? Well, just remember, the people around you, they're watching. They know what it's supposed to look like. A thought from Moody Radio.
This is our final segment of a broadcast we previously recorded. Thanks so much for being with us today, and we hope you'll stick around and enjoy the rest of the program. This is MoneyWise Live. If you enjoy the program, if you come away learning something or even being entertained or being blessed by the hearing of God's Word, tell a friend, let them know as well. Hollywood, Florida, Wally, you have been a very patient man, sir. What's on your mind?
Thank you so much for taking my call today.
First
of all, I just want to appreciate you guys, you know, for what you're doing. I thank God for your life. Every time there is a question, you pour out your heart. You never hold nothing back. I've been listening to you guys for quite some time.
Wow.
Okay, my question
Wally,
today
thank you for that. That's very encouraging.
You're welcome. And I'm looking forward to the day that I'll see you guys physically and shake your hands.
Great.
Yes.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm from Fort Lauderdale, Wally, so next time I get there down there, maybe we'll have to have a cup of coffee.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. My question today is from the previous program. You recommended that if you want to check your credit score, you can download the Credit Karma app and two other ones. I did download the Credit Karma, and then I checked my credit score, and I look at the details. But my question is this. Based on my credit score, they're offering me credit cards which can help me to improve my credit score. So my question is it better to take one of those, like Capital One, or use a secured credit card to help my credit score? Which one is better?
What do you think is causing the score to be low? Is it the lack of credit, or have you had some challenges in your credit history?
Yes, I've had some challenges. Right now, I don't have a credit card. I don't even want to think about it, but because I've been listening to you guys, so I decided maybe I should take one. For the major problem with my credit score is my student loan, which I've not been paying. And I've decided that if I have a secured credit card, I can just pay that automatically every month from that secured card. I'm not going to use the secured card for any other thing other than the student loan. So maybe that will help my credit score. But I want to know if the secured card or the credit card from Capital One would be better. Which one is better out of the two?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. I mean, I think the benefit of the secured card is if you felt like it would be too tempting for you to have an unsecured card like what you're describing with Capital One, and that might cause you, if you got into a bind or there was something you really wanted, that you might just be tempted to go out and spend beyond what you have the resources for, then that would give you a reason to say, okay, I'm going to use the secured card because there's a kind of a ceiling there because you're not able to borrow more than what's on deposit. You know, all things being equal, if you're okay having an unsecured card, it doesn't really matter which one you choose. I think the key is just make sure that you don't have a monthly fee. And if the bank with the secured card is going to charge you a monthly fee, then I would pass on that. You know, you are going to put yourself in a better position in terms of the potential to raise your score by having an automatic charge every month that is going to show some activity. You use it only for a budgeted item or items. You pay that off every month. Your credit utilization will be very low, and you will show some account activity. It will also add a revolving account to your credit report. And remember, 15% of your credit score is made up of the types of accounts you have. And if all you have right now is an installment account, which is what a student loan is, by adding a revolving account, i.e. a credit card, that's going to add another type of credit. It's also going to show that you're actively paying as an on-time payer. All of those things are good. It may not take your score up as much as you'd like, but over time, it will improve your score because you're doing the right things. But in terms of whether to go with unsecured or secured, doesn't matter to me. I think the decision comes down to which one is no fee and am I okay having access to an unsecured card? And if I'm not comfortable with that, then I would go for the secured card.
Thank you so much. Excellent. Thank you.
All right, Wally. Thank God bless you. Thank you for calling.
God bless you, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Wally. Let's continue on. Crown Point, Indiana. And Roxana, you're trying to start or would like to start a budget or something like that, huh?
Yeah. Thank you for your time, guys. My question is, what is the best way to start a budget when you have, like, little income coming in as well?
Yeah. Well, Roxana, the good news about a spending plan or a budget is it doesn't matter how much you have. It's really just a plan for your money. So whatever you have, if you have anything coming in, you need to have a plan for it. And a budget is just a way for you to give every dollar a name. And what I mean by that is unless you have a plan for your money, it's going to very easily get away from you. And so what I would do is start by capturing all of your expenses. And you can use one of our budget templates at moneywiselive.org, or you can use a smartphone app like mint.com or Every Dollar or Envelopes. I like all three of those. And the goal is to take 30 days and capture every expense. Every time, I'm not not saying you do this, but every time you go to Starbucks, if you enjoy coffee, all of your utility payments, if you have rent and a car payment and any giving you're doing, all of it. Capture every dime and put it into a category, and those categories are already going to be there for you. Once you feel like you've got everything, and by the way, don't forget to get those non-recurring charges. If you have a charge like an insurance payment that happens every 6 months, something like that. And then you want to compare that to the income that you have. And I realize there's not a lot there, whatever you have, you want to make sure that it balances. And the key there is if it doesn't, you've got to figure out how do we cut back? How do we eliminate some expenses to make sure this balances? Then once you have the budget in place, Roxanna, it's no good unless you actually use it, meaning you use that as a guide on a monthly basis to really govern your spending. And that's where a system to control the flow of money is critical. That may be something as simple as what we call the envelope system, where you literally have envelopes for every spending category. You cash your paycheck and you put the money in each of the envelopes. And during the month, you grab the envelope when you need it and you only spend until the money is gone and then you stop. Or you could use something a little more high tech, if you will, where you link something like Mint.com to your checking account or your debit card, and you actually capture those transactions electronically. Doesn't matter to me. The key is that you've got the written plan, and then you've got a system for controlling the flow of money. So that's really where I would go next. Let me leave you with one additional thought here, and that is that if you've never done this before, it could really be helpful to you to have somebody to walk alongside you as you get this set up. Well, that's where our MoneyWise coaches come in. There's no cost. And if you go to MoneyWiseLive.org and click on Connect with a Coach, this is somebody who will help you every step of the way to really get set up with your spending plan. I think you'll be blessed by that.
And Rob, you mentioned something about if you don't have a lot of money when you're putting together your budget. In reality, you don't need a lot of money when you're putting together a budget. In fact, if you don't have much money, you probably need a budget more than the next guy, right?
Well, I couldn't agree more, Steve. Absolutely.
All right. Roxanne, we hope that helps you. We hope you have a great budgeting year in 2019. Thanks so much. Rob, how about an email or two? This comes from Bruce. Dear Rob, I'm 24 and starting school this summer. I have $5,000 in savings, a $12,000 loan on my car, and excellent credit. Should I start investing? And if so, how?
Yeah, great question. You know, I would focus right now, Bruce, getting ready to start school, just getting started as an adult, that you really focus on getting that savings up. So you're going to want to have 3 months minimum of expenses in savings in an online savings account. And then let's really focus on paying down this loan on the car. Once you feel like all of that's in place, you've got your 3 months in place worth of emergency savings and you're making good progress on the loan, I'm assuming you're working while you're going to school, then it would be good to start thinking about trying to put 10% of each paycheck into either a 401k if you have one, if not, into a Roth IRA. But I think staying focused on building that emergency fund and really focused on paying down debt right now is probably going to serve you most effectively.
All right. I think we have time for Cindy's email. She says, a representative from my bank is very keen on me purchasing a fixed annuity for 5 years. When I did some research at bankrate.com, I found a 5-year CD from an online bank at a better rate, and it's FDIC insured. Yeah. Is a fixed annuity better than a CD?
Well, yeah. If you can get the same rate on a 5-year CD than you can for an annuity, both are going to lock up your money. And you're going to have far less in the way of fees and expenses with the CD than you would the annuity. And if the interest rate is comparable, I would absolutely go with the CD, because at the end of the 5 years, you get your money back with the interest, whereas, you know, the annuity, depending on what type of annuity is, you may not. So I think the better, lower cost option here, Cindy, would be the CD at the same rate.
And if you'd like to send a brief email question to Rob, the address is questions@moneywise.org. Okay, questions@moneywise.org. And if you're thinking of maybe buying your first home this year, maybe refinancing the home you have, or maybe purchasing some rental property, before you make any mortgage decisions, be sure that you understand all the fine print and all the options that are available to you today. I'm thinking of Dale Vermillion's book, Navigating the Mortgage Maze. Dale is a regular guest here. His book provides you all the information of the areas that I just mentioned and much, much more. There are chapters on how to apply for a mortgage, various types of mortgage financing, tax concerns, best payment options, top 10 mortgage traps to avoid, and what to do if you don't qualify for a mortgage. It's a great book. It's called Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion, and you'll find it when you visit our website, which is moneywiselive.org, moneywiselive.org. Just scroll to the bottom of the page. This program, MoneyWise Live, is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. My thanks to our production staff today doing wonderful work. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great remainder of your day. Then join us again next time.